myself up to you. How do I read your intentions? I grieve betrayal of my youth.
Was Compass by Tamaki-based five-piece neo-soul band Psychogab. You might recognize the vocals as one Rosetta Stone. And we have bassist Orlando Cooper in the studio. Hello.
Kia ora.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're not going to Laneway either?
I'm not going to Laneway, no.
It's okay. It's fine. Yeah. It's all good. Just don't look at your phone and just be glad knowing everyone else is having a good time and you'll be doing something equally.
I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
On my own.
Exactly, it's fine. Compass came out last week.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How did it
Thank
feel
you.
Getting that out into the world?
It felt really good.
Yeah.
It was a long time coming. Yeah.
How long were you guys working on it for?
It must have been over six months, maybe 7 months.
Whoa.
So yeah, quite intensive, and it's kind of the most like we've kind of put into a song. I think just especially with our first music video, it just took a lot to figure out.
Yeah, what was sort of the main, what took the most time? Was it the writing? Was it the sort of arrangements and instrumentation? How 6 months, how come?
I think the video took a lot of time, like getting the edit right and getting the color right. I think there were a lot of things we kind of oversaw, so it kind of ended up being more work than we thought. I guess the actual recording, we did most of it live, so we didn't really have to worry about spending too much time on overdubs and we had somewhat of like a time pressure when we wanted to get stuff done, which I guess helped as well.
Yeah, it's a good song for summer, so releasing it the tail end of January is quite smart.
Yeah,
and it's number 2 on the 95 BFM top 10 this week. Congratulations.
Thank you, that's awesome.
It's a bit of a it's quite a sort of bittersweet sounding love song, but quite chill. Nice on a Sunday, I reckon.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is it fun to perform?
Yeah, it is fun. But I think now, because I think we really all got a take we were happy with. Like, we stitched together a couple. It's kind of hard playing the song now because it's hard getting it quite to that level.
Yeah. Well, it's when you're playing live, it's never going to be like the recording, eh? You just have to live with that. Every performance is going to be completely different, yeah, maybe. Totally. And that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why, I don't know, personally, that's why I like seeing bands live, because you know you're going to hear something so different to what was on the album,
or
what you streamed or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of them are wildly different.
Like, yeah. And it's totally.
Yeah.
I've just heard it so many times that I just need to like unhear it in a way. I'm like, I know what look I do at this point. So I'm like,
yeah.
Sometimes like, oh, do I do that or do I do something else? Or?
Yeah. Listening to it's kind of like doing homework or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't just enjoy it like the rest of us. Also, the video is really cool, shot on Super 8. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we had our friend and longtime like collaborative artist Gab. She shot it entirely on Super 8 with us, and she had some experience on Super 8. And kind of when we were having the original like planning meetings, the idea of shooting it entirely on Super 8, I thought was almost kind of crazy because it was... It's a 5-minute song, and so each roll of film is like 3:20. So I think we shot on five different rolls of film, which adds up a lot of money as well. And then you have to ship it to Australia.
Because no one processes it here, do they?
No, not. I think for black and white, but not for color.
Yeah.
And so we had it digitized overseas.
And was shooting on like the Super 8 film, you can't just take a million takes. You kind of have to like get it in the can.
Yeah, we really spent time. We were going to storyboard the whole thing, but then we ended up kind of planning scenes. And there were certain shots we wanted to get, so it's like we couldn't actually redo anything. So we would do like a practice on digital first and then do it on Super 8. But it's just so many things you don't realize until you actually do it. And like one of the hardest things was obviously there's no sound that records on Super 8. So syncing the video or sometimes just figuring out like what are we actually filming in this section was quite difficult.
Yeah.
Me and Gab worked on that quite a bit, and so it was her memory retained a lot of that, which was really helpful.
Where did you guys shoot it? What were the locations?
Yeah, that was one of the hardest things. We weren't sure where to shoot it. We had kind of planned the budget around the song, and then we were like, oh, where do we shoot this? So we got lucky filming it at our friend Rebecca's house in Monaco Heads.
Cool.
She had this beautiful, massive house, so we had enough space to all stay there, and like I think we were a crew of 8, including the band. And so we could just set up lighting and beautiful outside as well, and got lucky with the weather on most days.
Yeah, and the video's got quite a sort of nostalgic retro look to it, which is nice. I mean, partly the like medium on Super 8, then also the styling, and it really fits your guys' sound. Are you sort of intentionally a bit nostalgic as a band?
Yeah, I think we really love a lot of that 90s kind of era, especially with that Baidu and D'Angelo kind of stuff, how live those songs were, and just how good those musicians were. So it's like trying to replicate that, I guess, in a modern sense, because now we have all this advantage of all these advantages with technology now. But yeah, wanting to go for that live feel, we bounced it through tape as well before mastering.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gives it a bit more sort of texture and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more interesting, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, kind of how do you capture that sort of an offline quality in what eventually is a digital recording.
Yeah, you know? we spent a lot of time doing it, and it's like me and Caleb, who I produced the track with, because we wanted everything entirely live, and we recorded at the lab through the desk. And originally we wanted to do a desk mix with Ollie, so like kind of staying away from the computer as much as we could. And we somewhat got there, but it definitely turned out to be a lot more difficult than we thought.
There's always compromises that
can't
go like full bore.
Yeah.
You guys have been together since, is it 2023? How did Psycho Gab start?
Yeah. So originally Caleb and Rosetta were met at uni, and then I joined the course a bit later on. But they had written like one song together, and then we kind of started, three of us started jamming, and then...
What were you studying?
We did popular music.
Cool.
So we met there, which was cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Caleb just had a couple demos with Rosetta, and then we just started kind of building on that. And then I had my friend Finn, who was an awesome drummer that I played with, and then Caleb brought his friend Max in. It's been a pretty cool process.
Yeah, cool. And where does the name come from?
Yeah, well, we spent so long on it. I think we had a gig lined up, and so we needed to put, like, a name on the poster.
Classic.
And, like, we had all these different names, like Bag Lady, Orchid Lady, I think was one. And then we had, like, a second song we wrote was called Psycho Gab. And it kind of came out of during the January floods in Auckland in 2023. So I guess the name Cyclone Gab or Psycho Gab is kind of where we got it from during that time. And then the song Psycho Gab became Gabin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Great origin story.
I think that's how I remember it, at least.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. And your role is bass mainly? That's obviously your instrument, but you do other things in the band too?
Yeah, so I guess like bass and then production, which I guess now is extended to video and sound as well.
Yeah, cool. How long have you been playing the bass for?
Guitar was always my main instrument, and I've been playing bass since like I was 15 maybe.
Yeah.
So not too long. Just kind of like when bands would need bass, or when my bassist like broke his leg or something. We had two guitars. I'm like, okay, I'll play bass now.
Do you miss playing guitar?
I still play it.
Yeah.
But it's just like a hard balance of like going between the two instruments, or like it's hard knowing when to practice what and stuff like that. But I really have fun on bass, which is cool. And playing with Finn is just so fun.
Did you learn? How did you learn? Was it in school, or was it sort of outside of school, or did you self-teach?
I had guitar lessons. Like I did classical guitar and then a bit of jazz and then rock, which was cool, through high school, which was nice getting free lessons. But I had like one bass lesson in year 9, and he was this older Italian guy, awesome guy, but he was like, you have to choose between guitar or bass. And then I chose guitar at that point.
Yeah.
So mostly self-taught or learning of friends, or I've had a couple of lessons since in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But definitely there's more to it than I've always kind of thought.
Yeah. What are the main sort of influences on your own sort of musical sound and as a bassist, like any favourite artists, bands, who do you look to?
Yeah, well, it's still just in that D'Angelo realm. So I love Pino Palladino and a lot of the old Motown stuff, James Jamerson and stuff. And but even a lot of like dub and Fela Kuti stuff, I think is real awesome. And so that was a lot of the production influences as well. I was trying to bring in some almost dub elements as well, having some live play with the desk while we were doing the bounce down, I guess, was fun as well.
Yeah, cool. What else have you been listening to at the moment?
What else have I been listening to? I don't know, just a wide range of stuff. I've been listening to a lot of hip-hop and a lot of that jazz, like rap kind of stuff is real fun. And yeah, it's just nice when you find music that connects to other music, which is what I love about like that late 90s, 2000s, is that it's just so links to like the 70s and all that kind of stuff, and you just keep finding more and more stuff and prints, and it's been great.
Yeah, music was really traveling at that time, and influencing and bouncing back, and it's such an interesting Do you like Witch?
Yeah they're awesome. I saw them at The Southern Sway, and then I'd seen them at WOMAD.
I saw them at WOMAD as well. So it must have been the same year. They're incredible.
They're a different band now. I think the original Witch that I saw at WOMAD, I think they were the rhythm section was it's like Moltovich's dance band. They were this Amsterdam band.
Yeah.
And then they had a completely different rhythm section when I saw them the other way, and it's like different music and else.
Yeah, I heard the vibe had changed a lot. It was still obviously the same sort of key front people, but they're cool, and it was so interesting talking to them about just kind of the influences that sort of came to them in the heyday, and then how that sort of it's all connected, and it all bounces back constantly. It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
You're not going to Laneway. What are you going to this summer? Any gigs?
Well, we're playing Shipwrecked on Friday. So
yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Fun. We're playing like a late slot, which is cool.
What
time? 10 p.m. on the Friday. Awesome lineup. And then I was going to stay on the Saturday, but there's all that jazz in Altea Square. It's just so awesome. So I'm coming back for that.
Cool.
And then go and explore the couple following weeks. I luckily got a ticket, so that's awesome.
Amazing. What other than Shipwreck Festival, which is where you can see Psycho Gab playing, it'll be amazing. So Friday, 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. Any other gigs from you guys planned this summer? Or is this a sort of one to go to see you?
That's the one, unfortunately. But we played last week or the week before at Ponsonby Social Club with Groove Council, which was cool.
Oh, sick. I love Groove Council. How was that?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. They got the whole venue moving, which is cool.
What a vibe.
Cool. Yeah. It's cool. Bringing that welly kind of rogue vibe up, yeah. Which is really nice to see.
Yeah.
Nice to see Aucklanders dancing.
Yeah, I think we need more of that.
Yeah.
So no gigs in the calendar other than Shipwrecked. But what are you guys working on music-wise? Is there anything in the pipeline? Can we expect some more?
Yeah, I think this is... It's kind of nice to get the ball moving now, and now that our attention's kind of left this kind of massive project. And so when we were at the lab, we demoed another song. So we need to work on that, and we've got some older ones. A lot of the time it might just sit there, and me and Caleb are like, we can't quite crack the chorus, or sometimes it's nice to like think we need to put thought into things, or we can't, until we play it live differently and stuff that can influence it. Sometimes it can be a long process.
Yeah, and it's good. Good things take time, you know. Mm. You don't need to rush stuff. And yeah, and I mean, like, as you said, Compass took about 6 months to come together, and look at it now. It's an amazing song, amazing video, really strong launch.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Cool. Anything else you wanted to tell our listeners? Anything cool? Any hot tips? Anything you're loving right now in Auckland?
I just think there's a lot of good shows on and a lot of good music, so just get out there and listen to what's around you. And there's a lot of new ideas and new bands kind of forming, which is real cool.
It's exciting, eh?
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much, Orlando. That was Orlando Cooper from Psycho Gab, the bassist, talking to us about the new song, Compass, and what they've been up to and how they made the video, which is really cool. So if you missed the beginning of that interview, it will be on the Bcast later today once I load it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, man.